morning, everybody. My name is Tiffany. I want to thank the conference organizers for giving me the opportunity to present my research today and be here with all of you. And I'd also like to acknowledge my co-investigators, Dr. Weisenfeld, who's here with me today, Dr. Updike, and then Wendy Nagel, who was our lead nurse in this project. So as you all know, chlamydia and gonorrhea are the most frequently reported notifiable diseases in the United States. Untreated infections can result in pelvic inflammatory disease, which is a major cause of infertility, can lead to ectopic pregnancy and chronic pelvic pain. Repeat chlamydia and gonorrhea infections in women are quite common, with an estimated rate of reinfection at 6 months, approximately 15%. These repeat infections are associated with increased morbidity and are typically asymptomatic. They can lead to a fourfold increased risk of pelvic inflammatory disease, a twofold increased risk of ectopic pregnancy, and in general, an increased risk of tubal scarring and infertility. So given this increased morbidity, the CDC has recommended that women who test positive for gonorrhea or chlamydia to be rescreened 3 months following their initial treatment. Although these recommendations have been in place since 2002, the rescreening rates after initial treatment remain low, ranging anywhere from 15 to 38% in STD clinics. Because of this low retesting rate, novel strategies have been studied to improve test of reinfection rates. One example would be using at-home urine collection. A study looked at this but found that this was only helpful in less than 1 in 4 women. Another example would be a tickler reminder system, which has the potential to help improve rescreening rates in order to detect these repeat infections. However, a California study that looked at family planning providers found that only about 56% did not use a high-intensity strategy such as a tickler system to help increase the rate of rescreening. So overall, underutilized. So for our project, we hypothesized that a simple STD tracker reminder tool would help to increase the retesting rates in a busy university-based gynecology clinic. Our specific aims were to determine the rate of test of reinfection within 3 months following a positive gonorrhea or chlamydia test, and again at 4 months, both prior to and following the implementation of the STD tracker. And we also wanted to determine the rate of reinfection for both gonorrhea and chlamydia at the time of the test of reinfection visit. So what we did was we developed, implemented, and evaluated an STD tracker reminder tool in the outpatient clinics of McGee Women's Hospital of University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. At this clinic, we have over 75,000 annual visits. 61% of our women are 25 years of age or younger, and about 90% have government-funded health care. So what happens is all non-pregnant women with a positive gonorrhea or chlamydia test were added to the STD tracker. This tracker is a patient list that resides in the electronic medical record and is accessed by nursing staff in order to coordinate follow-up visits for repeat testing. So this slide is going to kind of walk you through the tracker so you have an understanding of what we did. So any positive gonorrhea or chlamydia test that results is routed to the nursing in-basket in the electronic medical record. At the time, the nurse then adds the patient to the STD tracker. The patient is called, informed of their positive test, treated appropriately, and scheduled for a 3-month test of reinfection at that time. The date of the appointment is then added to the tracker, and the patient is, of course, informed. So 3 months after the initial positive test, if the patient was unable or unwilling to be scheduled for their test of reinfection at the time of the initial call with the initial positive, then the patient is scheduled for a test of reinfection then, 3 months later. And if the patient has missed their scheduled visits, then 2 attempts are made to call the patient over 2 weeks in order to reschedule. If there's no answer to these phone calls, a certified letter is then sent as a third form of communication. The patient is ultimately removed from the tracker if either 3 contact attempts have been made and the patient has not returned for their test of reinfection, or if the patient has completed their test of reinfection. So what we did is a retrospective cohort study using electronic chart review to determine retesting rates and the reinfection rate both prior to and after the implementation of the STD tracker. This project was approved by the UPMC Quality Improvement Committee as a quality improvement project, and statistical analysis was performed using EpiInfo. This table is just a representation of our demographics. On the left side, you'll see our pre-tracker. We had 525 total positive gonorrhea or chlamydia tests from September 2012 to September 2014. And then on the right side is the post-tracker. You'll see our N is only 243, and that's because we're currently in the second year of this implementation of the STD tracker, so this just represents a year of data for the post-tracker. You'll see that our average ages are pretty similar and as expected for our demographics in our clinic. We have a pretty high African-American population. Most of our patients have a prior history of STD, which you might expect. And then about 50% of our patients either use no birth control or condoms as their primary form of birth control. And then out of the different hormonal methods of birth control, our patients tend to prefer Depo-Provera. So overall, you'll see that there's not really many differences between the pre- and post-tracker demographics. So this is our main result table. You'll see that the pre-tracker, again, is on your left. We had about 181 out of 525 patients return for their test of reinfection within 3 months, which is about 34%, and then 47% within 4 months. After the implementation of the tracker, we see that the compliance has increased from 34 to 43% at 3 months, and then from 47 to 57% at 4 months. And then both of these findings are statistically significantly different. This, again, is just kind of going to walk you through the tracker. So out of the 243 positive gonorrhea or chlamydia tests after the implementation of the tracker, 104 patients came in for their test of reinfection within 3 months. 139 did not return. After one call, 20 more returned for the test of reinfection. After two calls, another 5 returned. And then after a letter, we had a final 10 return for their test of reinfection. This table is just looking at the reinfection rate for both pre- and post-implementation of the tracker. We didn't expect our STD tracker to affect the rate of the reinfection rate. But what's important to notice here is that if we use extrapolation data and we say that the N of the post-tracker is similar to the N of the pre-tracker, we would expect the STD tracker to pick up about 24 more positive tests of reinfections after the implementation of the STD tracker. And you'll see that our reinfection rate is pretty similar to what was expected based on other people's studies at about 16%. So in summary, implementation of a simple STD tracking system in a busy university-based gynecology clinic resulted in a 26.5% increase in compliance with test of reinfection within 3 months and a 21% increase in compliance within 4 months following a positive chlamydia or gonorrhea test. Overall, at 4 months, more than half of our patients had returned for their test of reinfection. The STD tracker did not affect the rate of reinfection of gonorrhea or chlamydia infections. And in general, an STD tracker reminder tool is an effective strategy that can be easily adopted in other clinics to increase retesting rates and may decrease complications related to repeat infections with chlamydia or gonorrhea. These are my references, and I'd like to thank our clinic staff and nursing team at McGee Women's Hospital for all of their hard work implementing this new tool. And I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
So we will have time for three questions. There's one microphone there in the middle, so feel free to, don't be timid, feel free to, yes. If you talk loud enough that everyone means a small room, so I don't see why not, yeah. Oh, the audio, you're right. Because they are recording that, maybe you should, if you don't mind. Maybe we can start with that one. Thanks.
Hi, Dr. Deal. Nice talk. It's great to see some of these types of tracker systems being implemented using EHRs, and they seem very promising. I'm Joan Chow from the California Department of Public Health. And my question was, did you look at differences in symptom status amongst those who were returned earlier versus later, suggesting that there might be some more incentive for people who are symptomatic to come back and comply versus those who don't see any issues or changes in partners.
That's a great point. We have the potential to do a lot more studies from this database that I've kind of made. We have not looked at that yet, but I have that follow-up data, and I think that would be really helpful for our patients to be able to actually say, like you said, if you do this, these things can potentially benefit you. So I don't have that information for you now, but I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. It might help you make a case for, you know, missed opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. That was a very nice presentation. Can I ask you how much extra time does it take for the clinic to add this into their duties? And was there pushback about that, or did you have to hire an extra person?
Yeah. So Wendy Nagel is a nurse that had been part of our clinic. She did kind of take on this role once we decided to implement it. I obviously had to ask her about her time to see what she thought. And overall, she says that she looks at the tracker about once a week and to kind of go through. Depending on how many people are on the tracker at the time, obviously is going to change how many hours are needed to contact those patients. But on average, 1 to 2 hours once a week to kind of go through the tracker, keep it up to date, and contact the patients. The things that we have used to kind of decrease the amount of time the nurses have to spend is our electronic medical record allows for dot phrases. So we have like a template that the nurses can kind of punch in so they don't have to spend a lot of time doing extra documentation. They just kind of have to fill in the blanks. And we also have a template letter that is sent to patients, the certified letter that's sent. So they don't have to spend a lot of extra time filling in the details.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have time for one more question, if there is anybody in the audience. Otherwise, I will ask the question.
Okay.
Did you try different type of simple STD tracker, or how come you come up with that one, that type of algorithm? That
our electronic medical record that we use in our outpatient clinics is Epic, and Epic has patient lists as part of it, and we have used patient lists for other things such as pap smears, and getting people to come back for colposcopy and making sure that people are followed up appropriately. So we created this list with that model in mind because that is just something that we've used, and it worked well for our electronic medical record. Any edits that have been made, which have been made as this project was developed, have just been within that same version. So it's just been little tweaks here and there before we started actually using it. But this is our, I guess, version 1.0.
Okay. Right.
Just a quick follow-up to that.
Sure.
In Epic, do you tag that as you go through and you're coding it when they are identifying them as STIs?
Yeah.
Do you put that into the chart so it pulls that data directly into your database? How do you flag the STI?
Any gonorrhea or chlamydia test result that's positive is how I did my chart review. And then any positive gonorrhea or chlamydia test that comes into the inbox just is routed to the nurses. And then the nurses know to send it to the STD tracker pool. And then the nurse will have the patient added to that tracker.
So it requires insight on both yours and other providers. It's not something that's automatically flagged. You have to screen for it.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
So I wonder if Epic has a way that you could actually
Yeah.
It might help.
That's a really good idea.
It may help expedite your process.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. That was
thank you.